Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. I don't know how long you've been tuned in, how many years. I pray that you have for many, many years, and I pray that you're announcing it to others and inviting them to join in the daily broadcast so that they can call in, join the discussion. We're going to have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and ask you to call in, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Our issue today, we're looking at the Trump record in heaven. The Trump record in heaven. Perhaps you say, well, what's heaven got to do with the Trump record? We're going to talk about that today. I believe it should be an intriguing broadcast, informational, educational, inspiring, and challenging to each and every one of us, especially as conservatives and as Christians and as pastors, preachers, churches. We need to listen up today. I believe it's vital that we understand what we're talking about and the issue at hand. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We face the issues as we do not face them based on denominational dogma, some political rhetoric, or some philosophical ideological bent. We face the issues day by day, moment by moment, through the prism of the Word of God. At the risk of redundancy, let me say once again, every event, all that we see taking place in our cities, in our states, our nation, and around the globe, as we view them, we need to do so through the prism of the Word of God. There's nothing that is new for God. There's nothing that surprises Him. In fact, when we look at the Scripture from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:22, we see the revelation of God to man, and we see God's what God has done in the past, present, and what He will do in the future. It's a wonderful, wonderful, I call it the truth book. As we look at the truth book, Jesus, speaking to His disciples, said this: "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Let me look at that for a moment. If you continue, constantly dwell in My word, talking about the Word of God, then you're My disciples indeed. Word indeed can be translated also truly. You're a true disciple if you stay in the Word of God. And as we stay in the Word of God, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth book, the truth of the Word of God. John 17:17 is a validating statement. It is a declaratory statement. John 17:17, Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we should depend on. Not what Washington says, not what the Marxist media may tell you, not what the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party may claim that they believe and do, but it's what the Word of God says. That is truth, indelibly so. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty good period of time. So some might say, well, how long is forever? It's forever. Yet we find today a society very much like described by the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said this: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're on the left coast, you're on the right coast. And by the way, if you're on the left coast, you can't believe anything that Gavin Newsom says. He's all hyped up now about the gerrymandering of the districts. He thinks he's going to get ahead of Trump in some fashion. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about truth. Truth matters, regardless of where you are, regardless of what party you identify with. regardless of what denomination you identify with, regardless of the ethnicity or geographical location, truth is still truth. But yet we find in America today, according to the latest statistics and survey, 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say this. I'm looking at the headline. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And they identified as the 18 to 35-year-old age group, said 55% say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we find that being proclaimed as truth by the Marxist media even today. Listen, some of the things we'll discuss today are very, very factual, and they're actual, and what we see taking place today is the unpeeling of the deception and the that has taken place for the past 6, 8, 10, 12 years in particular through the Obama administration and the Biden administration, all of the acolytes that have held their hands up and trying to undermine and tear down and destroy everything that's moral and ethical and valuable in society. We need to go back to truth. I'm looking at a massive article. Headline says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. Let me read you two very brief paragraphs from this article. American institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. Further in the article, it says, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education. And there's no more serious problem than the notion that is fashionable in academia today for decades now, that the truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the heart of the difficult problem that we're faced with in society. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. Keep in mind, 15th century theologian and church reformer. And this is what he said. Then, and it applies today, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my mantra. That's my challenge each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for business individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, where do I find them? Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've been keeping account of what President Trump has been doing for 7 months. 7 months as the 47th president in the United States of America. And time would not allow, if we had a broadcast for an entire day, to enumerate, to outline, to discuss everything that Trump has done that could be considered a monumental accomplishment for the United States of America. He has been sued about 450 to 480 times, injunction after injunction by the dozens against the administration and those that are in his cabinet. And yet, for the most part, most of those eventually working their way through the courts, for the most part, most of those, he's gotten court relief to move forward. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of a human being on the face of the globe that's gone through more persecution, punishment, and prosecution than Donald J. Trump. He still has an outstanding $500 million judgment that's got to be resolved in some fashion. And some of the judges behind the scenes are chomping at the bits, waiting, wanting to find some way, some opportunity to penetrate his Trump's protection at this point while he is still president. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe Trump has fought the battle and has fought the battle well. I recall several times President Trump has said after his attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania, where Trump has said, "God save my life, for me to save America." That's a pretty profound statement. But I believe it was at that turning point, that juncture, that something happened in Trump's life. I believe it was at that juncture that something took place with his thinking. And now, several times of recent, he's talked about the afterlife, where he would go and what he would do. But we're going to get to that in the latter portion of the broadcast today. We're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So, as he, President Trump, has been fighting to defend, protect America, what are some of the, I'm just going to name a few of the things that come to mind that President Trump has done. Some of the things that he has been working on. One of the latest, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the headline that says, "Trump to sign executive order abolishing mail-in ballots and target seriously controversial voting machines." It is recent date, and the article reads, "President Donald Trump on Monday said he'll sign an executive order doing away with the mail-in ballots while fighting to eliminate seriously controversial voting machines that he says are complete and total disaster." Trump said, "I am going to lead a movement to get rid of mail-in ballots, and also, while we're at it, highly inaccurate, very expensive, seriously controversial voting machines, which cost 10 times more than accurate and sophisticated watermarked paper, which is faster and leaves no doubt at the end of the evening as to who won and who lost the election." Further, he states, "We're now the only country in the world that uses mail-in voting. All others gave it up because of the massive voter fraud encountered. Quote, we will begin this effort, which will be strongly opposed by the Democrats because they can't cheat at levels never seen before, by signing an executive order to help bring honesty to the 2026 midterm elections." Remember, he says, states are merely an agent of the federal government in counting and tabulating the votes. They must do what the federal government and represented by the president of the United States tells them for the good of our country, and they need to do it. Further stated, with their horrible radical left policies, the open borders, men playing in women's sports, transgender, woke for everyone, and so much more, Democrats are virtually unelectable without using this complete, disproven mail-in scam. Elections, he says in closing, elections can never be honest with mail-in ballots, with voting, and everybody in particular at the Democratic Party knows this to be a fact, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just the latest thing that President Trump is attempting to attack and to accomplish to protect America. Most of us know, and many of us recognize and remember Dominion voting machines and how it was discovered. There's a back door that can be entered into electronically with high-tech people and can change a vote, yet they claimed that it was not possible. Some places and some networks, television radio networks, were sued as a result of entertaining and listening to and interviewing several people that believed that the Dominion voting machines were corrupt, and I believe they are. And it's been proven. And right now, as the onion is being peeled each and every day, we're finding more and more of that fraud that took place in relationship to the 2020 election in particular, with Sleepy Joe, Autopen Violet, Biden supposedly winning the election. We're finding now many things that took place that causes us to wonder what really took place. What else will be found as the onion is being unpeeled? One other statement, and then we'll open our telephone lines. President Trump has secured our borders. No illegals cross. Listen, the latest number was zero. Zap, zero, no, nada, a single person illegally crossing the border in the past few days. Nothing, no one. Today, our huge, prestigious universities are being forced to stop the Marxist spread in our nation. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it. Harvard University and Columbia University, New York University, Yale University, and I could go on and on and on. There's still some of them that are holding out, fighting in the court, trying to win the battle, which they cannot win. And President Trump has gotten settlement with several of the major prestigious universities that they will cease and desist what they have been doing. They're raising up, and they, the universities, raising up and training the Marxist, socialist, communist movement in America to undermine, tear down, and destroy our free nation. Trump sees that, and he's attacking it in the right source in the right manner. We're talking about the things that's good, let's use that term, the good things that Trump has done for America. President Trump has successfully been able to stop at least six wars that he talks about. Six wars. One that continued, he talked about, for over 30 years. I believe it was the war in the Congo. Over 30 years. And he brought peace, was able to bring the two sides together and have peace. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. There are a lot of things we could say in relationship to each of these items that I'm talking about. But the very succinctly, let's just simply say, as we look at what he's done, several have said that he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. I believe that's true. You recall President Barack Hussein Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize, and he had done nothing, even compared to what President Trump has done. That which Obama did in 8 years doesn't even measure on a scale a tenth of what Trump has done in 7 months. By executive orders, President Trump has started dismantling the U.S. Department of Education, where our kids have been sexualized, brainwashed, and weaponized as never before in the history of the nation. I've said for many, many years the governmentally controlled educational, so-called educational system needs to be dismantled. Trump is doing that. Now, I don't know about you, but I commend him for it. We, by way of executive order, Trump has called the trans movement. He has so-called trans movements not allowed in female sports now. He has almost stopped the gender care, as it is called, where the butchering of healthy body parts have ceased for the most part in America as a result of President Trump. And today, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump is finding out and making it known to everyone about the debanking, D-E-B-A-N-K-I-N-G, the debanking that's been taking place with our financial institutions. Let me just read a blurb of this, then we'll open our lines. We've got callers hanging on. Hang on, don't give up. I'll be right with you. This article says, complaints of debanking cited political bias despite Trump's order. It's dated just August 19th. Trump's executive order targets alleged debanking of conservatives and Christians. Banks deny closing accounts for political or religious reasons. J.P. Morgan says regulators should allow more transparency. Further in the article, U.S. President Donald Trump earlier this month signed an executive order requiring banks not to discriminate against clients on political or religious grounds, a practice known as debanking, after citing what Trump called discrimination against conservatives and Christians. The White House said the order was targeting systematic abuse by financial institutions that undermine free expression and economic opportunity for everyone. Another headline, I'll touch on it. Banking tyranny exposed. Bank of America backtracks after silencing Christians and conservatives and crypto patriots. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, you're a dead on point. I tell you what, from Eisenhower on down, this man has done everything right. Everything right. And when he moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and letting everybody know that is the capital of Israel. It's not Palestinians. It's not a Palestinian. They can't find any evidence that a Palestinian ever was there. Archaeologists, should I say it like that?
Yes.
They have found no evidence of them being in that land.
Well, let's back up for a moment, put a little footnote to that. There, those that called themselves Palestinians, it was the Islamic Arab jihadists that were there, but because all you could find was tumbleweeds in the nation at that time, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. They abandoned it, and the few marauding, those marauding around in the desert at the time, May 15, 1948, when Israel became a nation, they then started to gathering and saying, we want it, it's ours. When they saw what Israel, the Jewish people, could do, Jewish people in Israel, they have four crops a year. It is a wonderful, productive land because God's blessed it because it's the Jewish people that's there doing it. But if I'm not mistaken, it was Palestine that was Palestine. There was a name that was given to it. The people that were there at the time by the Romans, in a disdaining fashion. Go ahead.
No, I say you are right. The Romans named it Palestine.
Yes, but one of the things, Kenneth, let me just cut through the chase for just a moment. We got several others online that we need to pick up on and have conversation with them. But a question that I'm going to cut through the chase. I got several other things to say about the debanking and what's done. Do you believe that it is the responsibility of a bank? Should a bank be able to cancel your account if you're a Christian or if you buy a gun or if you're if you follow Trump or if you're a Republican or if you have any of the other indicators that you're conservative? Should a bank have the right to cancel your account?
Heck to the no.
Well,
my language,
here's what happens. I'm looking at an article that says the war on faith and freedom just took a hit, but the battle rages on. For years, Bank of America, and by the way, it's not just Bank of America, they're high profile because they were the worst in the group. For years, the Bank of America held a loaded gun to the heads of conservative Americans and just barely pulled it away. And a move that can only be described as a grudging retreat. Bank of America is quietly removing the Orwellian rule that allowed it to shut down accounts based on religious viewpoint. That's right, your faith considered a reputational risk in banking. Think about it. A church in Tennessee serving the poor in Uganda had its account closed. Why? Because it was run by evangelicals and associated with a business the elites didn't like. No criminal activity, no fraud, just belief that the banking cartel didn't approve of their religious beliefs. Another one, let it be clear, this wasn't about policy, it was about power. The globalist banking system has been slowly tightening the noose around Americans who believe in God, who believe in the Constitution, and the right to speak freely. It is a sad, sad shame. But Trump has just started shutting that down. Go right ahead. Quickly, yes.
And I get off the line. I keep telling my wife, get out of Bank of America.
Well,
Bank of America, it's not American.
Well, it's not just the banking they've been doing, but they have found... And I think it was less than a year ago, that particular institution, it's my opinion and it's my belief that it was that same one, that they had been defrauding the accounts by charging spurious figures or account charges to the accounts by millions upon millions of dollars. They were caught doing that. So and I think we could make this statement across the board with most of the banking, but Trump is just shutting that stuff down. They debanked his account. The Trump International Organization, all of the accounts were shut down. None of the banks would open an account. The banks wouldn't even allow Barron Trump to open a checking account. This has just been a couple of years back. And an attempt to shut him down because of a political correctness. And I can go in a few minutes as we continue the thought where it was through Barack Obama and through Joe Biden that this continued until right now where it's being, if you please, uncovered and stopped. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing great. As far as voting concerned there, there's a Tina Peters, I think, is from Colorado, and she was an elected official, the registrar in a particular county. She was following Colorado law on voting. She's currently in prison right now because of this, and she kept the records, and the current Secretary of State exposed over Now, Tina Peters is in prison for one password that she inadvertently may or may not have exposed on the electronic voting machines. The Secretary of State exposed over 200 passwords. The passwords that Tina Peters exposed was expired. Some of the ones the Secretary of State exposed were legitimate passwords. So anybody that says that Dominion machines are not accessible online, they're not familiar with the Colorado debacle that happened, I think, in 2023. And a woman's in jail because of that.
Well, Colorado is wretched from stem to stern with all that they've done. It is a wholly owned operation of the Marxist Communist Democratic Party. House and the Senate, Communist Democrat. Governor, a in-your-face flaming sodomite, and a Democrat on top of that, runs the state. What can you expect from that state, Jim?
Well, you know, you were talking about the executive order for mail-in voting. I see California, Colorado, and a couple of other states that rely on mail-in cheating to really raise a stink about this whole thing here very shortly.
Jim, let's talk about it for just a minute. There's some folks that might be a little confused. There's a difference in absentee ballots and mail-in ballots. When we talk about mail-in ballots, it's where states like Colorado will take everybody on the voting list and by mail send every one of them a ballot. Let's say that ballot goes to apartment XYZ in a building where the person has moved, and he gets, and by the way, that was a turnover in there, maybe every 3 months, 6 months, a new tenant, and so all of a sudden at that address, person opens the mail and there's 3, 4, 5 ballots to different names. What happens to those ballots? Who signs them? Who turns them back in? Who verifies them? Who validates them? That is the thing that we're talking about being stopped. We do not do that in the state of Florida. We have in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis was just interviewed on the television broadcast just a couple of days ago. In the state of Florida, we still have the ballot. If you want an absentee ballot, you have to show identification, who you are, you get the ballot, and then you have to show identification when you present that ballot to make sure that you are who you say you are before you can cast your vote. Now, that's legitimate balloting, if you will. But I go back to the fact that I believe we need to have one day, as you've said before, one day that's a voting day, a holiday, everything's closed, all the business is closed, everybody's free to go vote. You have one ballot that you cast, and that's either in person or an absentee ballot that is turned back in and not a mail-in ballot. I know I've been rapid overview of that. What say you in relationship to what Trump is doing?
I thoroughly agree with it. You look at some of the voter rolls, especially in Democratic states, you've got multiple voters assigned to single point addresses. They've shown time after time after time, especially with the Doge department there, that these voter rolls need to be cleaned.
Absolutely.
If you're sending 10, 20, 30 named voters to a single point address, you've got a serious problem in your voter roll.
Absolutely. Jim, I'm going to cut through the chase for just a moment. We're almost out of time for this portion of the broadcast before the top of the hour news. Has Trump done enough good works to go to heaven?
I think the Lord Jesus Christ will judge him fairly. As long as he's a believer, all sins are covered. As long as he proclaims Jesus Christ, which I've heard him do, I think he's going to heaven.
Well, one of the things, and we're going to talk about this for the balance of the broadcast, so if you want to hang on until after the news break, we can continue it. But the thought is,
sir,
he's been asked the question, are you going to heaven? And he has a pretty unusual answer, and we're going to dig into his answer. We're going to analyze what the Bible says and ask the question, will President Trump go to heaven based on all the good works that he's done? We need to not be confused about good works and salvation by faith through Jesus Christ shed blood on Calvary's cross. So, Jim, if you will, hang on until after news break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the news break right at the top of our news. We're going to come back. We're talking about today, looking at President Trump's record and Trump's heaven. Will Trump go to heaven as a result of all the good work he's doing? If that's the case, how many good works does it take? What's the number? What's the magical number that gets us into the pearly gates called heaven? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida, To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park.